Sticks and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to what if you commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, eats and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Box soup.
Man, that song sucks, huh?
Should I take the mic out of the thing? We were referencing before that this is how the guy from Stained always used to sing.
From the Stained. I've never heard of Stained. I'm too young.
It's ageist.
Is that a 90s band man person? I've never heard of them before.
You have to do the intro. The people have paid to hear you do
Dave
the intro.
Lozo.
And I'm Greg Wyszynski, and you're in Poxoon.
When you order with SeatGeek, you order with confidence. It feels good to be the one to say that once in a while. That's nice.
Hey, hi, Dallas. Thanks for coming out to the show.
Yes.
We're very, very happy to be here. Thanks, everybody, for buying all the tickets that you bought, because we were able to move from a smaller room to a larger room. I know some of you are on Twitter voicing concern about the number of people coming to the show and the comfortability of the room. And once I got into Dallas and felt the moist heat of the sun on my body, I started to understand why you were so concerned about bodies being so close together in this fine state.
How do you people play hockey here in May and June? How do you do it? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
yes. Hey, guys, Steven Johns is upstairs, so maybe, like, be cool about the whole not playing hockey and me and Jim thing.
All right, I dropped a beer already. Shut up.
In fairness,
I was trying to move the table for my own beer, so I didn't really care what happened to his beer.
He didn't drop a beer. He dropped my beer. When you order a beer at the Profit Bar, you order it with confidence.
All right. My beer was more important. So anyways, everybody watched the NHL Awards last night?
No.
They said with such...
You missed the puppet guy!
Okay. The two highlights of the awards, obviously, were the fact that there was...
I'm good, thanks, Tom.
Terry Fator, who is a renowned ventriloquist...
Define renowned.
Renowned. Well, if Jeff Dunham and Peanut aren't available... then Terry Fator will come to your child's party.
So he's like the RC Cola of ventriloquism?
He's the RC Cola of ventriloquists. If you're looking at your local supermarket, you have Jeff Dunham and Peanut as Mountain Dew and Terry Fator as Mountain Don't,
Crest.
I suppose.
Yeah,
I don't know what the hell it is. So he was there with a puppet, and my biggest regret from the show, I was actually near the red carpet, was the fact that he was next to Mark Messier with a hand up a puppet's ass. And there's Mark Messier. And then next to him is this guy like, "Mer, look at me. I'm a fucking puppet." And I didn't get a picture.
What was he like?
He was like, "Mer." And so I didn't get a picture. That was my one regret. But he was horrible on the show.
Can I ask a question? The two guys that came out and said Chell 75 times?
Yeah.
Is that like the ground zero of the word Chell, or were they making fun of the word Chell?
No, that's the ground zero of the word Chell. Those are the off the bench.
Because one guy's name was like Bob Bar Down, if I'm correct, or something like that. Like get it? Bar Down. That's a hockey scene.
I plead American in not understanding anything that they do. But so the other horrific thing that happened last night, in case you missed it, was that there was a magician. And things started out well. They did a clever thing. They had him make Gary Bettman disappear.
Yeah.
unfortunately, when he reappeared, he wasn't Adam Silver of the NBA. He was actually a child. So then that was funny. But then things really went off the rails later in the show when he tried to do a card trick to reveal the winner of the Selke trophy. And instead of... So the whole trick was like he was going to lay the cards on the table to create... a mosaic picture of the winner of the Selke trophy, and instead it looked like someone spilled a jigsaw puzzle on the floor And you saw like what looked like Anže Kopitar's knee, and you're like, oh, that looks like a Kings jersey. and so we knew who won. And then obviously when Kopitar got up to get the award, he snubbed him on the handshake because he's like, fuck you, you incompetent.
Oh, did he do that?
I didn't even notice he did that. The thing I love was the card trick where was it Matt Barzal had to like protect his genitals from a card. Because when I think about award shows, I want to see somebody as uncomfortable as possible protecting their genitals.
The good news, Matt, is you're going to be involved in a skit. The bad news, it's going to be Gambit throwing explosive playing cards at your genitals time.
When I watch the Oscars, I want to see Meryl Streep protecting her genitals from a card trick guy throwing his card as a weapon. Like he's fucking, who is the guy in the shitty magic movie? The Franco brother?
Oh, do you mean Now You See Me and the sequel Now You See Me 2 instead of being Now You Don't?
Now You See Me.
I mean, for God's sakes, it was a layup. I mean, you just call it Now You Don't. I mean, that's the second part of the phrase. But they went with Now You See Me Too. And they didn't even make it T-O-O. What the fuck? Like, it was simplest thing.
Why does it have to be that? It's not Look Who's Talking. Look Who's Talking owns that, okay?
They own the two as the sequel
Look Who's
gimmick.
Talking also. Get it?
But I feel like, you know, if you want to make your movie more endearing, you go to two, like Star Trek T-O-O. Like, it would be just perfect. You want to spend time with these people.
Well, speaking of bad ideas, what did everybody think of the PHWA voting? How, you guys like seeing those
so
votes?
The professional...
Roddick Fox had got some love, right? Like, he was... Oh.
He was on my Selke ballot. So the three things that stood out for me were Dave Schultz... of the Globe and Mail listed Taylor Hall as a center.
I mean, he was the center of the Devils' surge to the playoffs.
Taylor Hall might have taken a face-off once after all four other players in the ice were thrown out, including the defenseman, maybe even the goalie. That was embarrassing.
No, but what I enjoyed about David Schultz was when he realized his mistake, he was completely fucking petty about it when everybody pointed it out to him. Oh, sorry, I made a mistake with something so inconsequential as an... Well, then don't fucking vote if it's not inconsequential. What are you doing? Like, let's say like that was my ballot, and I had like Roberto Luongo at defenseman, and somebody was like, hey, moron, Roberto Luongo plays goalie. I'd be like, ah, fuck, I was really drunk when I did my ballot. I screwed up, and that's on me. That's my bet. I wouldn't be like, I'm going to go live under an underpass in Toronto and feel shame. Like, just own your mistakes. That's all. Like, it's easy.
And then there was, of course, the moments when the people were trying to defend their peers by saying, well, you know what? You might all be really angry about the Hart Trophy voting, but think about those kids from Humboldt. I'm just like, you know what? We cover a damn kids game where they all skate around for 17 months trying to lift a giant silver thing. Like, you could literally say that about every single thing that we do as professionals to then play that card. But that card was played, too. And then the other thing was the person who put Vladimir Tarasenko fifth for the Selke, I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
They must have seen his back check.
Didn't somebody also put Jacob Slavin ahead of John Klingberg? That was a thing too, right? Yeah.
John Klingberg.
Are you cheering Jacob Slavin being ahead of John Klingberg? Dallas people, you have found your enemies.
John Klingberg ended up, I think it was sixth in the voting behind Carlson and all those guys because, you know, one bad month. No. He should have been top three? Sure. I mean,
that's a guy in a Sabres jersey, so he knows nothing about what goes on with hockey. So. Ignore that. It's fine.
Then there, of course, were what I thought would be the conclusion of the great Connor McDavid wars, but they rage on, apparently. So, as you know, I didn't vote McDavid in my top five for the Hart. It's how I define value, in the sense that if your team is 17 points out of the playoffs, your contributions aren't as important as other people's were.
Who was your top five?
My top five were, in maybe particular order, your champion, Taylor Hall. Noted center Taylor Hall. Then it was McKinnon. Then it was Kopitar, Giroux, and Blake Wheeler was my fifth.
Hey, we got a Winnipeg person here. I was just curious if we were going to get a cheer for Blake Wheeler. We did.
He was awesome, man. Like, and you talk to those Jets guys, and they're a little like, yeah, what he did this season was incredible. But so the thing that bothers me most after having seen all the ballots is sort of like the pity votes that Connor McDavid got, where like he was fifth on like 30 ballots. And it's just like, if you're going to have him on the ballot, you can't have him fifth. Like, he was, if you're going to acknowledge that he's eligible to win the award, like, he needs to be at least second or third, right? Like putting him fifth is sort of a waste of a thing.
Why do you hate Connor McDavid? Tell the people deep down. You interviewed him once. Did he, like, say something about Star Wars that made you mad?
That is so completely rude to claim.
He was like, Greg, The Last Jedi was terrible, and I want to redo it.
I want to redo it. It's so rude to claim that I hate Connor McDavid when I hate the Oilers. Now, listen. The people that want to remake The Last Jedi really upset me today.
Oh, no, we can't do this. We can't.
I don't know. Round of applause if you liked The Last Jedi. Round of applause if you didn't like The Last Jedi. And that, friends, is what art is.
Oh, it's divisive.
It challenges you. It makes you think. It's not some populism like The Force Awakens. That's fucking candy for a child. The Last Jedi is a piece of art.
This is my fault. I apologize. I should not have said Star Wars.
It's like walking into a gallery and being like, that Picasso is not as I remembered it when I was 8. I'm going to paint over it a kitten eating a cheeseburger, because I fucking love kittens and I love cheeseburgers, and that's what I want
to
see.
Now is a good time to go to the bar and get yourself something to drink. Just come back in like an hour.
I did see, by the way, in the Star Wars front that they are pausing the Star Wars Stories movies because of the lack of success for Solo, which actually was pretty good. So we're not going to get that Boba Fett movie you've been jonesing for, Lozo.
Yeah, because I really needed a Han Solo origin story, when in the first movie Han Solo was like 26. What was Han Solo like in high school?
I would only watch a Boba Fett movie if it started in the belly of the Sarlacc, and it's like record scratch. You might be wondering how I ended up here.
Oh, my God. The one thing that I really... there's all the PHWA votes that were kind of weird, but who is the... We'll say six figures at least, right? NHL GM, six figures?
I mean, as far as what they make?
Perhaps seven figures?
I mean, it depends on the team.
So,
like, all due respect to John Chayka, I don't think he's making six figures with the Arizona Coyotes.
John Chayka is getting like 80K a year, and it's all in Bitcoin. We know that. That's how it works. But who's the GM that was like Freddie Anderson? That's the best goalie in the NHL this year.
Freddie Anderson finished fourth in the Vezina voting. The GM,
the guy with the 2.87 goals against and .918 save percentage.
He finished ahead of Fleury. He finished ahead of John Gibson. And he finished, like, Bobrovsky had, like, one, like, fifth-place vote. It was very odd.
Like, he's not even Canadian. Usually I can be like, oh, well, he's Canadian. He's from Ontario and once, you know, was in Chico Resch's goalie camp when he was 12. Oh, so that's why he's getting votes. What is he, Danish? Everyone wants to say, you know, never play the game, people. They don't know the game. Whatever general manager thinks Freddie Anderson had the best season in the NHL as a goaltender last year, Mark Bergevin, right? It was Mark Bergevin. It had to be.
I forgot to mention before about the voting.
I could really go for a beer right now.
I'm sorry. I knocked yours over. The voting for the All-Star teams postseason is where we ended up with Taylor Hall as a center. We also ended up with Claude Giroux getting votes for all three forward positions. And the thing you got to know about this, by the way, is the reason why it's such a fucking disgrace is twofold. One, because everybody remembered Alex Ovechkin getting on the All-Star team as a left wing and a right wing right here, which is how we got in this mess. And then the other thing is there's an email sent to all the voters that actually says, hey, everybody, please note what Claude Giroux's position is this year. And people still fucking put him
at the wrong
position.
They clarify it for you in the email. Yeah. They say, hey, dummy, this guy plays this position. There's still some guy who's like, center. Why not make him be a center? What bothers me, too, about the PHWA is there's, what, 320 people? I don't want your garbage, Scheinerbach.
Holy shit! Do you know where you are?
Whatever.
You're in the jungle, baby!
Wait, is Shiner Dave, Buck a
Dave
Dallas beer?
Dave Lowe's are just an insulted Shiner in Dallas.
I mean, I'm going to drink it, obviously.
It's like doing a live show in Manhattan and being like, fuck bagels.
Is Shiner Buck really a local beer? I had no idea.
It's a Texas classic.
Well, what I meant to say was...
Oh, how do you guys feel about Shiner's Ruby Redbird? Are you fans of the grapefruit beer? That's a no.
Let me tell you how much I love Adrian Beltre. Yeah. And Dirk Nowitzki. Yeah. And Sergei Zubov.
We'll get to that later. So I don't know. Did someone bring me a Zubov jersey to wear?
Yeah.
Did you bring one? All right. Listen, when we get around to talking about that fucking nonsense, bring me the jersey and I'll wear it for the great debate.
Oh wait, I wanted to rant. So the PHWA has 320 voters, right?
Sure.
And they only use half of them. Half of them. They just pick 160 people at random.
Well, they rotate the votes through.
Why? It makes no sense. Why would everybody in the PHWA not have a vote? Imagine a country where they use some like electoral college system, and your vote didn't matter. Like, how stupid would that be? Why would you do that? Why would not every single vote count, no matter where you are in the group of people that you're part of?
So for those,
for
those scoring at home, Lozo in the first 10 minutes of the show has brought up and is insulted Shiner Buck and brought up electoral politics. So we're off to a flying start.
What color is this state? Is this a red state? It's a red state, right? So I love guns.
No, they rotate the votes so different people can vote. Now,
why do they make everybody vote?
I don't know. But here's the thing. I know why everybody can't vote. It's
why?
Because it's in balance. So like, there's a fuck ton more voters in the East than there are in the West. Mm. So they have to like repress the Eastern voters to make sure that it's not completely East Coast bias.
So that's like saying if you had a heavily populated state in a country, and you minimize the impact those people could have.
So you're saying like
based on where they live. Interesting.
For example, like New York. Mm-hmm. Should have as many voters as votes that count, let's say, as, say, like, Iowa. In some
I just
cases.
Think one person, one vote, Greg.
So, I don't know if you saw the press release
Thank
from
you.
The PHWA, but there were a number of people that messed up their ballots, and I regret to inform you, one of them was our dear friend Mike Heike here from Dallas.
Who
his ballot was...
Wait,
was,
is he here?
His ballot was discounted because he forgot to, in his words, cut and paste the name of a goalie onto his all-star team.
Like, where was he cutting it and pasting it from?
I don't know. Last year's ballot, maybe. I don't know. But but there was one guy who sent his ballot too late. And these all... I knew that we were doing the transparency thing as far as the voting this year, and I was fine with it. I didn't realize they were going to call out people that fucked up their ballots. Like, oh. I really didn't. It's like here are the people that voted Vladimir Tarasenko for the Silky, and here are the motherfuckers who didn't even fill their shit out right.
But it was 12 ballots, right? So like, what if those 12 ballots all had Nathan MacKinnon at first in the Hart vote, and no Taylor Hall?
An excellent point. They were all hanging chads, if you will.
Ah,
now you got me into it.
Now
the reason I bring this up is that internally the discussions in the PHWA were that if you didn't fill out your ballot right, you might not get a chance to vote next year. So I hope they don't do that to Heike because he's really, really good.
But some of
the other people that fucked up their ballots, yeah, you can.
Is he really good? Because apparently he messed up his ballot. So.
Yeah, but it was a cutting and pasting error, you know?
Or sure. Whatever. He hit Control Z when he meant to hit Control C. It's the keyboard's fault, really.
Right. So Taylor Hall wins the Hart. That's great. Hedman wins the Norris. I know everybody here is pissed off about that.
John Klingberg people, right? Yeah. See, I know
the thing about the Norris that sucks now is that, like, it seems like the people that are, like, there's, like the Drew Doughty thing. It's, like, there are people that are mentioned at the beginning of the season as being predestined to win their first Norris, and then they end up winning it. You know, no matter what happens in the season, that guy ends up winning it.
Wait, are you saying that's Victor Hedman?
I'm saying it was Victor Hedman's turn at the beginning of the season, and
wow.
Lo and behold.
The fact that you would compare Victor Hedman's season to the one that Drew Doughty had is offensive to me, sir.
Let it be known that P.K. Subban was atop my ballot.
I mean, P.K. Subban or Victor Hedman probably should have won it. I mean, John Klingberg should have won it.
Matt Barzell won the Calder, and four people didn't put him first, and one person put him third.
Didn't some like ESPN person like leave Clayton Keller off her ballot altogether?
Emily Kaplan left Clayton Keller off.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
From some other podcast that I don't know about, apparently.
Kopitar won the Selke. Gallant won the Coach of the Year, which is great. Boy, this was such a beautiful night last night because Taylor Hall winning was just a big middle finger to Edmonton. And then Gallant winning, I mean, was like the latest in a series of middle fingers towards Florida based on what happened with the expansion draft.
But like, how can you have a Coach of the Year and a GM of the Year? Like, you can't have one without the other. Or you can't have one and then have the other. Because if we all thought the team was bad before the year, Gerard Gallant deserves all the credit for making the team good, right?
Right.
So the team that he put together, being George McPhee, how is that the best? How did he do a better job than Kevin Cheveldayoff, is my point.
Players play the game, Dave.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. That seemed like a real smart thing to say at that point.
Boy, you have turned against me? We're not even 20 minutes in yet.
William Carlson won the Lady Bing.
The fucking Lady Bing.
Go ahead.
People, you know how I feel about the Lady Bing. Who gives a shit who's gentlemanly in the NHL? I don't. I don't even know how we judge that. It's like penalty minutes. But like, what if a guy has 8 penalty minutes, but like he walks around saying like horrible shit to people on the ice, but no one's looking? I don't know. I'm not out there.
I always assume that it was if you're playing and the ice is bad, and then you lay your jacket down so
that
a lady can walk over the puddle, then you are going to be a Lady Bing candidate.
This guy always opens the bench door. He's so nice. But as dumb as it is, there's one rule. Be a gentleman.
Yeah.
And Connor motherfucking McDavid got an abuse of officials penalty during the season and finished 4th in the voting?
Yeah. Yeah.
The word abuse is in the penalty that he got during the year. People were like, oh, I can't vote for this guy because he got a fighting major. This guy got an abuse of officials penalty. Yeah, but he only had like 12 penalty minutes total. Just get rid of the award.
It's like he didn't crawl in a hole and cry for the entire season playing at Edmonton, so he's obviously a bit of a gentleman.
Or maybe he was
also give him the Masterton. He's just survived so much.
Maybe he was gentlemanly. Maybe he was like, oh, sir, hello, Mr. Don Kowalski. Oh, right, sir, go fuck yourself. Cheerio.
As Eric Kowalski should, yeah.
Wow.
And then all the hockey writers are like, you know, when he told Kowalski to fuck off, I did not hear a please.
Not Lady Bing quality.
Voting.
Yeah, I've long said the Lady Bing is a horrible award. The Lady Bing should be voted on by the officials. The GM of the Year award shouldn't exist. It's fucking stupid. Like,
Every three years.
It takes like at least 5 years for people to really, like, for example, people who are judging Jim Nill now, for example, who knows how good this team will be in 15 to 20 years.
Is that Antti Niemi contract expired yet or no?
Boo!
Yes, boo that contract. Yes, absolutely.
Steven Johns is here tonight.
Oh, fuck. He's going to be down here in like 2 seconds, isn't he? He's like really big and strong.
I just wanted to remind my co-host until he's just like, and fuck Jason Spezza.
Here's what I love about the Dallas Stars.
His friend is here, for God's sakes.
I'm picking the Stars to win the Cup next year, actually. Hey, buddy.
I really, like, as I start to formulate ideas on who's going to win the Cup next year, like, if Tavares doesn't go to San Jose, and it sounds like with this, we'll talk about Trotz later, but like it sounds like he's going to stay in New York. Like, I feel like if San Jose does one more, like if they get Carlson, like they might be my
John,
pick. But
John,
also
John or Eric, which Carlson?
Eric.
Okay.
For like maybe like
there's
a year.
There's like 50 Carlsons now in the NHL, and they're all awesome.
Well, they have Melker, so we can cross him off. No, if it was like Eric Carlson, and then like you add him to the Sharks, like. I mean, they're the Sharks, so inevitably something will go wrong. But, like, I feel
right.
Like maybe that'd be... But then I think to myself, but, like, the West is really, really competitive. So in theory...
Is it? Because an expansion team went to the Stanley Cup final out of the conference. I'm just saying, oh my God, is a Vegas fan heckling me?
Let me rephrase that. The Central Division is really competitive.
Yeah. That's fair.
So I feel like it would be like a team from the East, and then it would, you know, you come back to like Boston maybe being the team that you think about.
You know what? I was thinking about that division.
Which division?
The Atlantic.
Okay.
Because you have Boston, Tampa, and Toronto, right? And everyone's like, wow, Boston came out of nowhere this year. 100 plus points, really good team and all this stuff. Did you ever look at the other five teams in that division? It's Ottawa, Florida. Who am I forgetting? Carolina. No, Carolina's in the Metro.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Making it into the playoffs in the Atlantic is like beating the first screen on Donkey Kong. It's like, wow, you made it. That's amazing. There's no jumping from metal platform to metal platform. There's no going over those little divots. You know, that's all it is. That's exactly, a joke from 1983,
exactly like
by the way, in case you were wondering.
It's just like Atari. It's just like those fireside chats.
Do you know when you're playing Asteroids and there's a big asteroid?
This reminds me of an episode of I Love Lucy.
Do you remember when fire was discovered? Boy, what a weird day that was, right? Where it was like dark and cold, but then it was warm and light. All right, listen. Let's probably bring out our guest. He's been back there for way too long. Steven Johns is a defenseman for the Dallas Stars, and he's here on this very podcast. Listen to that ovation. My God. Do you guys know that he's originally from Western Pennsylvania?
Come on, really? Of course they know. How would they not know?
Stephen Johns is from a town called Wampum in Western PA. Stephen, do you know who the other...
Richie Allen.
On your... Yeah. So there are four notable people listed on the Wampum Wikipedia page. And
Is this a chirp?
No.
What?
Are you chirping?
No, I'm just saying, I was going to say you're one of them.
All right.
I mean, there's probably only 800 people that ever lived there, but like, do you know the other three names along with you on the Wikipedia page for notable people? All of them athletes, by the way.
Is it the Hennon brothers?
Dick Allen and Hank Allen, and there's one more.
No, I don't.
Huh?
I don't know the other.
The other one, besides you, is Don Hennon.
Yeah.
Who was a basketball player and surgeon.
They won four state titles in a row.
Who?
The Wampum Indians back in the 50s.
In what? In
basketball?
Basketball?
Yeah.
That must have been where Dr. H played. Don Hennon. But you're on the notable people. What was Wampum like growing up? Besides a currency, I imagine. Sorry. It was right there. I'm sorry.
There were, you know, there was Main Street, K Street, and Beaver Street, and that was it. There's not, no gas stations,
No gas stations?
No red lights. That's kind of like our cool.
Were there bars?
A couple.
Yeah.
Horse and buggy still.
I imagine.
So when you were drunk, you would Uber, like, for, like, a horse and buggy? Like, hey?
No. We actually don't even, like... I got an Uber from I tried to get an Uber from Pittsburgh back home one time, and I got in the Uber, and the guy just told me to get out. So that's how far out of the out in the sticks I live.
But you I imagine you spent some time in Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you how do you feel about putting fries on everything as they do
it's
in Pittsburgh?
The only way to eat.
Oh man. Like,
I don't. I mean, have you ever heard of like French fries in a bad way?
Yeah, like they put it on salad in Pittsburgh. It's a little bit much.
Well, it's, you know, you get that little extra salt. Carb up.
It is.
You got to get your carbs in a salad somehow.
It is a glorious starchy mess.
Do you ask for fries like here in Dallas? Or you're like, let me get a salad.
No, I respect everything about Dallas.
Zing.
We were talking about the Central Division before. Does it piss you off having to play there because it's so fucking hard to win?
No, I think it's sweet. I think that, you know, you want to be a part of the hardest division because if you come out of it, it just means you're that much better of a team. And you want those games every night when you go from Chicago to Minnesota to Winnipeg to Nashville. And, I mean, you're playing in playoff games every night. And, you know, that's what's fun about the game of hockey. And it's obviously it's tough, but it's just an excuse to use to, you know, if you fail.
Let me offer an alternative. You spend a quarter of your season in Florida and get to play the Sabres. Let's just say there's other options.
Sabres guy in the front row did not laugh at that joke at all. Not even a smile, just for the people who can't see him.
You're getting Rasmus Dahlin tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. It's one more step ahead on the long road back to the playoff bubble. You were in Chicago before you came here.
Oh, Rockford, yeah.
Rockford, or yeah. Whatever. It's, you know, it's all the same. What was Rockford like? A bunch of hicks, someone says.
Hey, that H word doesn't roll cool with me.
Yeah, that's a pejorative or something.
Because I am a hick, and I absolutely embrace it. I'm a hick.
Did you miss the whole Western PA wampum part of the interview? they call it Pennsyltucky, I believe.
Taunt me. I'm not going to do anything about it. You can taunt me on stage. Don't taunt the really big
guy. Who did you play in Rockford that went on to the Hawks?
I lived with I actually roomed with Ryan Hartman, who is in Nashville now.
Yeah.
Played with Phil Deneau in Montreal. A couple other guys are there too. I'm kind of in a brain fart right now.
That's fine. Did Hartman ever try to punch you, or was it cool?
No, I mean, he's kind of a guy like Roos. You know, he's a guy that you love to have on your team, but you hate to play against. And I mean, he's one of my best friends, and I know it hurts a lot of people for me to say that, but you know. He's a guy that would be standing up at my wedding, but, you know, when he's on the ice, I don't want to hit anybody harder than him. So, and he knows that, and that's what makes this game fun.
Yeah.
What's hockey in Dallas like? Because you've come from Rockford, you come here. Is it a place where you can go outside and live your life, or people are like, oh, my God, that's Stephen Johns.
Is that happening? No, it's not like that. I mean...
Because
I had a cool like Tyler Seguin moment last year in Whole Foods where someone recognized me and I was kind of, you know, I did like a double take and I was like, oh, thanks, man.
Wait, they thought you were Tyler Seguin?
No.
Because I was gonna say you should play that up for all it's worth. Like, yeah, I'm Tyler Seguin.
I'm gonna have to dye the beard.
It's like, oh my God, Tyler Seguin's buying incredibly overpriced trail mix. So you can live your life somewhat anonymously. Is that good, or would you rather be in Toronto where people are are counting the number of times you visit a hot dog stand outside of your condominium?
I mean, you know where you already explained my small town in a great way, by the way. So you know, I like it this way. I went to a school with a big name, which I didn't really like. You know, I kind of felt like there was a lot of a big spotlight on that, and you know, I like it here. I love it here.
You went to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I heard. Did you go there with Golden Tate?
Yeah, I did.
I've been told that there are many Golden Tate things that you'd like to share with us on the podcast.
There's only one Golden Tate. I mean, that's only one story. I was there, I think I was a freshman, he was a senior, so and that was when he was kinda, I mean, we all knew he was going to the NFL, and we you know, we had Beer Olympics that day in college.
As one does at a Catholic school.
Yeah. Wait, explain Beer Olympics to the people. Like what are the events?
There's about 14 events.
14?
Yeah. You know, it's college, man. It's
so like.
What do you mean? You play drinking games all day, and you know, if you win, you move. I mean, it's just a tournament.
Okay.
Can we get beer pong?
Yeah.
Tricycle race.
Flip cup.
I don't even know if you flip cup was there. Yeah, we had the worst one was ice cube tray races, where you fill fill a beer up an ice cube tray, and you have to drink out of it with a straw as fast as you can.
Oh, God.
And go try and do it. I guarantee you throw up.
How do you win? How do you win? Is this like the first, the last person who's not passed out?
You have teams of four. So like all year, you're like, you know, getting, you got your team, you got your squad ready for the Beer Olympics. And you know, it's just, you know, it's, I mean, everyone does it.
It's like, Johnny, get the trays. We got to do train.
No, but you come in as a freshman and you hear all the seniors and juniors talk. Oh man, just wait till Beer Olympics. It's best day of the year.
Did you win?
Runner up.
All right, that's a silver.
That was my best finish. Right. Runner up.
So Golden Tate's a senior and you're a freshman.
Yes,
the beer Olympics.
Well, yeah, Beer Olympics. You know, once it kind of died down, it kind of, you know, more people would come over and we would just, you know, just keep drinking and keep partying. We're in college, and we're up on our balcony, and someone's throwing a football around. I see Golden Tate, you know, out in the crowd, and he throws me the football, and I'm out there. I'm 3 or 4 beers deep,
and couple trays.
Yeah, and you know, he gets into this 3-point stance, and no. I'm like, holy shit, is this guy gonna run a route right now? And like, no shit, like I like act like I was under center. And this guy like looks at me and I'm like, holy fuck, here we go. I had like 100 people staring at me, a little nervous, and I put it right on the money.
Nice.
Put it right on the money. And that's my Golden Tate story. It's not,
there
it's not
is.
That cool.
It's wow. It's a great moment.
It's one that I'll cherish.
Do you ever think that maybe you could be an NFL player or a Cleveland Brown? An NFL player or a Cleveland Brown? A Cleveland Brown.
Cleveland hasn't. They have an NFL team. I'm a huge Steelers fan. So.
We were discussing the Cleveland Browns in the green room before, and we were told that the Browns' success is cyclical. To which I said, much like the equator is cyclical.
Time is a flat circle, and it's the biggest fucking circle in the history of sports. I almost lost my crease. I did lose my crease.
For the benefit of those at home, Loza walked out with a crease on his foot. His foot has been in the crease the entire time.
I figured that like if I could ever do this in some place where people would not acknowledge the fact that my foot was in the crease, it would be Dallas. So. Buffalo, what's up?
He's got no idea.
Yeah, he is.
just his reaction. Just based off the reaction.
He's like, Dominic who? Hasik? I don't know who that is.
The Buffalo fan in the crowd has taken so many L's, it's like he's owned by Terry Pegula. Do you know how many times have you met your owner? A lot?
Yeah, we have once a year. Well, it's my first 2 years. We had he always has the boys out for a big dinner at his house out in Vancouver. So, and he comes on a lot of trips with us too, so he's around. And...
Is he approachable or is he like super rich?
Or both.
That's kind of like, it's kind of like opposite. This don't even correlate. Well, obviously, I mean, the one... answer to your question is yes.
What's he going to do? Like, sure is and the owner?
That's exactly the answer I was looking for.
And the second one, I mean, yeah, he's approachable. I mean, the hockey world, I feel like everyone's approachable in the hockey world. We're all, you know, kind of...
Blue collar?
No. No.
Down to earth?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, got that.
Yeah, but blue car has a whole different definition for me.
Logo on the front, not the name on the back.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's around, and I mean, obviously, it's cool to be around him. we're thankful for him because, you know, obviously, he pays us, so it's I mean, but yeah, he's a great guy, he's a great owner, and you know, hopefully I can be here for a long time.
Yes.
Was that a gotcha question where he was going to be like, here's what I hate about my owner?
Like, yeah, like
what
was
he going to say?
What am I supposed to say?
Well, I just wanted to, like, we originally thought we were going to get Jamie Benn.
Oh, sorry.
So, I had a couple of Jamie Benn questions I was going to ask him, and he's not here. Is it all right if I just, like, throw him?
So you're going to ask the Jamie Benn questions anyway, if no Jamie Benn.
Well, I mean, like, no
pressure. Here we
go. No, like, they're like, general questions, but, like, I don't know. Don't do my jokes before I do my jokes.
Steven, if you want to answer as Jamie Benn,
whatever you want to do.
No.
I don't know if you want to be that.
No, they're just regular hockey questions. You people have your minds in the gutter. Steven was nice enough to come out here and do this. I mean, come on, let's grow up here.
And also, like, Lozo put in so much time and research into these questions.
I worked hard on these questions.
It's only natural that he would
share
them.
This is just a regular hockey question. Ready? Back in training camp, was this how you envisioned the season going down?
it's a reasonable question.
No? All right. All right.
It's what we set out to do. Yeah. Come on. was that a legitimate question?
Yeah, that's why, you know, the season went down in a way that I thought a lot of people weren't expecting. So the second question is better. It's a more thoughtful question. The Stars scored the third fewest goals in the third period last year. Is it possible the team had like a fitness issue or a nutrition issue? Do you think too many players eat out during the season?
I don't want to be Jamie Benn anymore.
So, all right, you don't want me to ask about how Brad Marchand used his tongue in the postseason then? I won't, but I won't ask. It's over. That's it. That's all I got.
Well,
I just had the questions all written already, and I just, you know, Greg does a lot of interview work, and I didn't want to have him carry the load, and I know when I'm licked, I'm going to stop.
The incredible restraint to not ask that time in the box joke. It's pretty impressive.
I don't get it.
Is this how I should sit?
Is this what?
Is this how I should sit?
We go this way?
All right. We didn't even talk about fashion. So I'm wearing a black t-shirt that says Blog Boys. It's from The Ringer. It's a Kevin Durant line. Lozo is wearing a fucking boat rock shirt, I would say.
These are nachos. These are little triangle nachos.
Those aren't sailboats?
No, they're nachos. It's a Taco Bell shirt.
I legit thought that those were sailboats.
It's a podcast. No one can see the shirt, so I can lie about what's on the shirt.
Oh, okay.
they're just white corn nachos. Man, I love nachos.
It is something. It is definitely something. Steven Johns, you fancy yourself as a gamer, I've heard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you play?
PUBG right now. Yeah.
That got a reaction from the crowd. What do you like about the game? Is it the murder?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Now, are you like all the Finns in the league? Do you have guys in the league that you play with? Or is it a separate group of friends? Or are you anonymous and just murdering 10-year-olds? Because when I play Fortnite, I know that the sniper attack that I just unleashed on somebody, it's a fucking 11-year-old who is like taking a break from their math homework, and I just murdered them.
It's
satisfying.
I have my group of gamers. We're in a big group chat, and we text each other when we're all getting on, and I play with a couple guys around the league. Alexiak was, you know, obviously one of my good friends here when we played here, and we still, you know, game together. We were both pretty big gamers, so I don't know. I think it's you know, just a way better thing than watching TV.
I would tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
He's a Fortnite guy. He talks about Fortnite nonstop.
And I talk about it nonstop, but you told me that your game is like Fortnite, but not as cheesy.
Just like, yeah.
Like, your game is for, like, people that are like, you run around, and instead of an axe, you have a lollipop. This is fucking stupid. did you ever reach out to any? Because the Finns seem like the guys that, like Line A and all them all play Call of Duty together. They all have their little, like, there's a story. Did we tell that story on the podcast about Line A? Who told that story? About how Line A and his teammate were staying in New York in a hotel, and they actually went out and bought a second television for the hotel room. Did we ever tell that story?
Dude, you don't even know.
Right. True.
No, listen. Yeah. I first of all, I bring my Xbox everywhere.
Of course.
Like, road trips.
On road trips, yeah?
What's that?
On road trips, you can just bring it in?
Absolutely. Put it on a backpack.
I don't know. I just thought, like, maybe there's, like, rules about, like, you know, curfews and not playing video games, but, like,
oh, I mean, well, I mean, we're on road trips. We have so much downtime. It's, you know, walking around cities kind of gets old, and, you know, you gotta be rested for every game, and I just play video games. Yeah, right. Man.
Did we ever tell the Line A story on the podcast? Line A and his teammate, I want to say it was Ehlers, were in New York, in Manhattan, staying in, like, the Westin or whatever. They went out to, like, a Best Buy. They bought a second television for the hotel room so they could play Call of Duty together. And then they just fucking left it in the hotel room after they checked out. It was just there. Like, the next guy who walked in is just like, oh, fuck, a fucking television. This is much better than the King James Bible.
Being rich must be awesome in so many ways we never even think about. Like that. For example. Jesus. Have you ever bought off TV for a hotel room? You ever just, like, say, like, hey, we got to get, like, a crazy game going in the hotel room?
I brought my own monitor.
You bought your own monitor. That's different, though.
Is it?
That's fair.
Is it?
Sure. I mean, God. You didn't go and buy a TV.
I got chirped so hard.
Why?
I used to have the briefcase with the screen in it. You threw your Xbox? Oh, yeah.
Wait, who was chirping you?
Oh, yeah. And listen,
you had a briefcase for your Xbox that had a TV monitor inside of it?
I'm not the only guy in the league.
Like,
I'm not.
That sounds like a bomb that Tom Cruise would have to defuse in a Mission Impossible.
And it was sweet. Because, I first road trip I'm bringing it on, I'm all juiced up about having it. And I just throw it out on the plane, and everyone's like, whoa, what are you doing? I'm like, gaming, boys. And, they gave me pretty much every road trip. They just give me shit.
Yeah,
they're just jealous, man. They're just like, we want to do it too, but we're afraid to ask Steven how we set it up. That's what it is, man. There's no other explanation.
He gets talked to. He's like, someone's like, what a waste of time. They say as they're binging the fourth season of Sons of Anarchy on the plane.
Right. Yeah, no, I went from watching seven seasons of a TV show in a week to just gaming. So. Yeah.
Exactly.
They're back in their room, like, Googling how to play video games in my hotel room. They're just embarrassed to ask you because they've been giving you shit for so long. Don't let them. Who's giving you the most shit? Who is it? Is it Jamie Benn?
No. Because all the young guys, you know, we grew up with video games, and I mean, so did the older guys, but our video games when we were growing up were a little better. A little advanced. Yeah, a little bit more advanced. All right. They just don't understand it.
We have a couple more questions.
Old people. Am I right?
We have a couple more questions for you. Do you want to talk? We want to talk about how it was like playing for Hitch.
I mean, the guy's a legend. He wasn't. Everything that happened last year, you know, was on us as players. It wasn't on him.
Was it? He can talk. That guy. Did he talk when you were in the room? Was he short with you, or would he just fucking drone on when he would talk to you guys?
It's like any coach, you know. It all depends on the situation. If we needed a lashing, he would give us a lashing. Or are you, like, trying to make a joke?
I'm trying
out of
to
this?
Say, like, if it's between periods,
did he not talk to you, or did he ramble on constantly?
Like, what is that? Is he giving you, like, 20 seconds of go get him, boys, or is he like, you know, I organized a prison team in 1983 because. the laugh tells me all I need to know, Stephen Johns.
I wasn't laughing.
What did you learn? What did you pick up in the year with Hitch that you didn't maybe know before or think about before?
I worked with Rick Wilson a lot this year, and just having Hitch there is, you know, Hitch has been through everything, and he's seen every situation. you know, I obviously none of us saw what was going to happen at the end of the year last year. And, you know, I think it was the hardest on him because he was so excited to be back in Dallas and to have another opportunity. And I think he even said in an interview halfway through the season, like he had another wind and he was, you know, it was the hardest thing to see him go out that way because of how much he cared about our team and our situation and how much he loves the city of Dallas. And I think all through that, I mean, that guy's a legend. I mean, look at his track record. He, you know, that was the hardest 2 months of my life for sure. And, yeah. And that's collectively. And nothing changed in the locker room. We had a tight group and it just, we just couldn't find a way to win a game. And it just went on for weeks and that killed us.
Should we talk about happy stuff now?
How about this? Yeah.
What's your favorite Steelers win over the Browns in the last 10 years?
In the last how many years?
Pick a time frame.
Is it weird? Is it weird being a Steelers fan in Cowboys country?
No, because I wasn't alive whenever the whole rivalry was there. And
He wasn't alive when the Cowboys were good. That's what he's telling you.
And he's
right.
I didn't say it like that. I mean. How am I going to dig myself out of this hole?
My first memory of the Cowboys is Barry Switzer.
Tell them how much you like Jerry World. They probably that'll probably
that place go. Is freaking crazy.
See, look at that; it's amazing.
I walked in. I didn't know what to expect. I pretty much just expected to go see a big TV. But when you walk in there, and our seats, we had seats where you couldn't really see the field until you got up to the seats. We're walking up all these goddamn stairs and finally get up and it's like, you look out and it's like, holy shit.
Like if you're going to go 8-8, that's the building to go 8-8.
Do you want to talk about your golf thing? What do you got coming up with the golf thing?
Yeah, I do a charity golf event every summer. This is the fourth year of it. The first 3 years I've done it for, different cancers. Just unfortunately every year I've had someone close to me die from cancer, so I've just done it for that type of cancer. And this year I'm going to do it for an organization that you guys might know. I've worked with them in Dallas a little bit, the 22 Kill guys, so I'm going to do it for them this summer. Yeah, so it's when I say charity event, I mean we do raise a lot of money, but it's just a party, which is, that's, in my estimation, that's the best kind of golf outing is, I mean, I just have, you know, 160 people there that, you know, just like to have fun and don't really care about how they play golf, and then everyone just gets together for a really good day for a really good cause, and, it's so much fun, and I share it with all my close friends and family, so, and we do it for a great cause, so.
It's like, good. Here's your tea time, and also your six-pack and your ice trays.
Oh, it's...
so when
frighteningly accurate.
what you're saying too is that you do this for charity and it's for fun, but maybe like somebody might show up and take it too seriously and be competitive and ruin it for you if they come there, right?
If they come there,
like maybe like a Cleveland Browns fan who's standing on some stairs and might be way too aggressive about it.
I got a text from Tommy the other day. I'm coming for blood.
Tom, this is for charity. The only charity you're going to get is when I let you live at the end of this golf tournament. Tom, the trophy. It's all about the trophy. A Cleveland Browns fan's telling you it's all about the trophy.
The trophy being Baker Mayfield.
I absolutely love Cleveland jokes.
All right, so you are the, correct me if I'm wrong, Lozo, but Steven's the second active player we've ever had on the podcast other than Connor McDavid.
Well, some not other guy. Name. Never heard of him.
So,
funny story. This is a funny story.
Oh,
funny story about this
all
guy.
Right, wow.
So, my girlfriend and I. We went to London and Paris about 3 weeks ago, and we're sitting having dinner one night in Paris, and McDavid and his girlfriend walked by.
Whoa!
I literally felt like a fangirl. I was like, "Oh my God, it's McDavid!" my girlfriend was like, "Well, why don't you go say hi?" I was like, he doesn't know who I am. I'm not gonna go say hi. He doesn't know who I am. So the whole dinner, I'm like contemplating, like, do I go say hi to this guy? Like, I'm 7 years older than him. There's no way. There's no way.
Did you do it?
No. Come on. No, I mean, wait, what do you want me to say? Hey, Connor, I'm Steven. I play for Dallas. Do you know me?
Do you remember that fourth guy you turnstile back in November when you were in Dallas? It's incredible.
Probably the last person I would expect to
this
see.
This is actually eye-opening for me because I figured everybody knew each other.
No. I mean, I probably know like one guy on every team. Just, yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
I would have loved to have seen a picture of like you and your girlfriend like awkwardly hugging him, like holding his arms. That should be like the thing every NHL player does is like, hey, Connor, can I get a picture? Yeah, and you just do the awkward hug on the arms.
Like what the guys did in Nashville with the guys for asking for signatures outside when they disguise themselves.
Oh, I don't know that.
You don't know that?
No.
Oh, Nick Bonino. They did for Halloween a couple years ago.
The players did?
Yeah, you got to look at it. That's pretty funny.
All right.
Nick Bonino, who can't button a shirt, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that. How do you button a dress shirt? Do you button it like Nick Bonino from the bottom up, or do you go top down?
I go middle first.
Oh.
I set the tone early. And then
but after you go middle, then do you go up or down?
It's literally like legitimately it's probably whatever button I see. And I just want a button. First of all, I never button the top button unless I absolutely have to. Like,
wow.
Interesting.
There's no reason to.
Man. Yeah. Are you less mad at Nick Bonino now because of this?
No. That makes more sense than like putting your shirt on and starting here.
Doesn't that make sense?
That's what he said. Oh, he once had a whole Twitter fight about it with people. He was like, "Yeah, you're crazy if you go from like the second button down. Like, how do you put your shirt on and like line it up to go? I don't.
It just folds and like. Listen. You set the tone early. You button that middle one. If you get it wrong, you get it wrong. You start over again.
We're just going one button at a time. We're not getting too far ahead of ourselves. We just want to focus on the first button, and then, you know, we'll see what happens after.
Folks, you come to this podcast for such life lessons. Take that with you. Spread the good word of Steven Johns.
Right, next time you're buttoning a shirt, I guarantee you'll remember it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Steven Johns, the Dallas Stars. A standing ovation, sir.
You're the best, man. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Giving him a standing ovation after you called him a hick is not going to change how he feels about you, sir. So now it's time for a little trivia. Listen, Sergei Zubov.
Okay, the jock left. So Doctor Who season 8. I'm just saying.
Who wants to play a little of this, that, or the other thing? Who are the Patreon people that said they were going to do it? Because I don't want to look it up right now, and I'm too lazy. Don't lie. Just who are you if we said you were going to do it?
Okay, come on up. Wait, how many do we need?
We need two people.
Two people that want to play a trivia game. Who are they?
Winner gets beer. Get out of here, Cleveland.
Well, come on up then. Come up.
Yeah, if you said you were coming in, come in. Come up.
All right, that's one.
I'm gonna go
come
to my
on
phone.
Up. All right, we have our two. This is.
I want a CID. I want this confirmed.
As you know, I tend to write many of the trivia games. This is a Dave Lozo original. So batten down the hatches, folks.
Let's see. I'm looking for Brian and Rich. Are you Brian or Rich? Brian? Ladies and gentlemen, Brian.
Hello, Brian. Brian is resplendent in Toronto Rich? Maple Leafs gear.
What's that?
Neither.
Wait, is Rich here? Because this guy is not Rich. If your name happens to be Rich, it doesn't count, though. You have to be the Rich from the... Are you the Rich?
Get your ass up here.
It was a good try, though. Pick any chair you want. Any chair you want. Sit down.
Welcome. What's your name? Brian, good to meet you.
Man, he tried to steal your spot. Welcome.
Rich, come have a seat. Oh, do you have them? Here, take this mic.
All right, so here's what you're going to need. You're going to need these three pieces of paper. Greg's also going to need these three pieces of paper. Greg's going to be the Vanna White for this. He's going to be the person who reveals.
Can
Game Show Thursday.
Who is correct and who is not correct? You want to just pay attention to the thing there. Usually, like, we have a clever name for it, like tacos, chacos, or narcos. But, like, there's no real clever name for this. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to go crazy. So here's the game, because we want it to be local. I'm going to give you guys a name, and you have to tell me if this name is a Dallas Stars draft pick. Yeah, this is local, baby. A Dallas Cowboys draft pick. Or a character from Walker, Texas Ranger. Oh. Whoever gets the most right, you get. I'll buy you a beer, or maybe even two if you dominate. We'll see how good you go. 10 for 10, you get two beers. So here's the first name. Oh yeah, give these guys mics. Where are the mics? Did Stephen Johns take the mic home with him? It's a well-organized podcast we have here. Okay, here we go. The first name. Boomer Knight. Boomer Knight. Who do you think it is? A cowboy pick, a star pick, or a Walker, Texas Ranger? If you're not on the stage, you're not playing the game, sir.
What do we do? What do we do? Just hold it up? Or?
Just hold up your answer. That is correct. Walker, Texas Ranger. Boomer Knight was played by Hulk Hogan.
What?
In 2001.
Hollywood Hulk Hogan, or?
That's, yeah, what's that question?
Hollywood Hulk Hogan, or?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right.
All right, number two. Nick Bootland. Nick Bootland. Nick Bootland was a Dallas Stars draft pick. I'm starting to think I should have had a tiebreaker set up when these guys go 10 for 10. All right, number three. Stars pick, Cowboys pick, Walker, Texas Ranger character. Austin Smith. The correct answer is Dallas Stars draft pick. 3-2.
I know, right?
He was a 2007 fifth round pick, and I never heard of him before, so I'm sure he was terrible. He played in Europe, just like me, where I starred for the Swedish league team Flurgen version. All right, here we go. Number four, Deke Powell. Deke Powell. Boy. The correct answer is Walker, Texas Ranger character, and we're tied again. Deke Powell was played by Dean Norris, the sex gift guy, who also did other stuff, I guess, right? Yeah, he also was in Breaking Bad, but he was the guy who wanted to find some sex gifts. So now it's 3-3 here through four names. Number five, Al Cleveland. Al Cleveland. Wow, you guys are both correct. Wow. It was Dallas Cowboys pick. Yeah, I forgot. I just want to do it for the people here. You, everyone else at home, you should have come here. You guys lose out. So we're 4-4 through five picks. Cody Conway. Cody Conway. Wow, you're both wrong. Cody Conway was a Walker, Texas Ranger character played by... Does anyone know who played Cody Conway? Oh, you people call yourselves Texans. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Rowdy Roddy Piper. He was a good actor. I don't want to say anything bad about Roddy Piper. Rest in peace. B.J. Ronson. B.J. Ronson. B.J. Ronson. B.J. Ronson. P.J. Ronson was a Walker, Texas Ranger character.
Oh, God. God.
And you know who played him? Frank Stallone. I've never seen a single episode, but it seems like a great show now that I went through all these people. So what are we? We're tied 4-4 here, and we have three more. I forget which ones I did. I should be marking this off as I go.
Oh, Jesus.
Justin Cox. Justin Cox. C-O-X, Justin Cox. Dallas Stars draft pick. The lead. So now it's 5-4.
Can we pause on the fact that he had to spell Cox? Just so you guys know, it's not, you know, Cox.
It could have been C-O-C-H-S.
It's the traditional spelling of Cox, not like many cock.
So what do we have? We have two more left here. Two more.
Thank you for that. That was good to clarify that.
So if you get this right, you get this wrong, it's over. You win. Awesome. You can clinch it right here. Larry Savage. It could be pronounced Savage. I have no idea. Folks, we are tied. Dallas Cowboys draft pick. 8th round, 1977. Oh, no, 7th round, 1980. Yeah, there's one left. I think I know which one it was. I'll say it, and if I said it already, just tell me I said it already.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Marco Rosa. Don't look over at him and try and play for the tie. Come on. We're tied. He was a Dallas Stars draft pick. So I really wanted to count up how many Dallas Stars draft picks there were since like 2001 and have that be the over-under or the tiebreaker. All right. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10.
4.
8.
7 is the correct answer. Both of these guys get a beer. They both did really well.
Do you want a copy of my book or a Stanley Cup t-shirt? You won't offend me if you say the t-shirt.
Or do you just want beer?
Then you want the t-shirt. Because he already had my book for the fucking, you know, just to let you guys know, he didn't reject the book. He wanted... Okay.
I own your book as well, so...
That's great. I'm happy everybody has the book.
Thank you, gentlemen. Round of applause for these guys. Free beers for those gentlemen.
Or the other thing. Or what did you call the game? What was the name of the game?
Something, whatever, and some other thing. It doesn't really matter.
That's one of two game shows we're going to play tonight. By the way, I don't think we mentioned about what's happening here. So after we get done with the show proper, there's going to be a Q&A just for the room. Also, we've come to find out a fact about this room, which is that we have it until 2 a.m.
8-hour podcast. Finally, I can give you my feelings on season 7 of Friends.
So if you were like, hey, why don't they ever ask multi-part questions at these Q&As? Now's your chance.
Greg, the Last Jedi, I don't really understand why you... This is going to be... I don't care. Whatever. We're here forever. You can do whatever you want.
We'll get there. 25 minutes into their question. And then at the end, all the bank robbers, they stand in front of a fountain. Now, what do you think of my script? That was a joke about how whenever I went to Kevin... I've been to a couple Kevin Smith Q&As... His stand-up evening with Kevin Smith shit, some of the greatest, like, entertainment that you can find. If you've not seen, I don't know why anybody in this room hasn't seen it, but if you've not seen the soliloquy he had about being hired to write a Superman movie, and John Peters telling him that he has to have a giant spider and also polar bears guarding the Fortress of Solitude, to which Kevin Smith said, but it's the Fortress of Solitude. Why are there be polar bears guarding it? It's really one of the funniest fucking things you'll ever see. But my point was that when he would do Q&As, there would inevitably, like, there would be three good questions, probably about Mallrats, and then there'd be like one question where it's like, just want to say you're an inspiration, you know, what you've done for all of us is so fantastic. I have a script idea, and then you just hear the crowd go, oh, no. And Kevin, to his credit, would fucking humor it, but boy, was it painful. But if you have script ideas tonight, we're here until fucking 2. So
if you have script ideas, feel free to throw them out there. We'll listen.
I know you guys want to talk about Zubov, but we have to talk about a couple things real quick before that. Mm-hmm. Barry Trotz got hired by the Islanders.
Yeah.
And it became great. Quite apparent that I see a Capitals shirt. She's very sad that Barry Trotz
She's
is gone.
Very sad.
Be very sad. Yeah, you're very sad. I know, right? Jesus.
That's fair. I accept that. I deserve that.
We're sorry you're very sad, said all the people in the audience, now on their almost 20th year without a cup. Sir, so anyways, like, the Capitals really were going to hold them that bullshit extension. Like, he kind of said on his conference call today that the whole bit of it was if they won the cup based on the contract he signed in 2014, there was a two-year extension that paid him roughly $300,000 more than he was making. And this was in 2014, before Babcock signed, before Quenneville signed, before Claude Julien signed. And they were going to really hold him to that extension. And he's just kind of like, no. But, I mean, them doing that basically is them saying, we don't want to give you $5 million a year for 5 years, and we want Todd Reirden to take over the team.
Yeah, but really? Todd Reirden's here tonight, folks. Todd Reirden.
Tell us about Brooks Orpik.
Fan of the podcast. But don't you feel like that they decided this a year ago and they didn't really adjust based on what happened in the last year? Because, like, I understand, like, we were all the same way. We were like, the Caps can't win the big game. They can't get past the Penguins. Barry Trotz is a great regular season coach, blah, blah, blah. But now you see what he's done. And he's four straight years now of he's the best coach in the league the last 4 years. He's won the Cup. Why not pay him?
Do we have any Bruins fans in the audience tonight? Probably not. Oh, yeah? Oh, okay.
Wow, a lot of Bruins fans here tonight.
Wow. That was unexpected.
This poor gentleman in the star shirt is just getting absolutely destroyed by Stephen Johns and the Boston Bruins fan sitting next to him tonight. Good for you, sir.
There's a very famous bit of scuttlebutt and innuendo around the Bruins when they won their cup, where basically Cam Neely was going to fire Claude Julien. And then at one point, basically, you know, after they won the cup, Claude Julien just basically walked into his office and said, you know, fuck you. Like, I won the cup. Go ahead and fire me now. And they couldn't. And so I thought this... I didn't think the same scenario... I can't picture Barry Trotz walking into fucking, like...
Why not?
Ted Leonsis' castle and being like, fuck you, Ted.
His castle.
But I kind of agree with you. Like, I feel like the die was cast earlier this year, and they clearly didn't want Reirden to interview with anybody else. And
yeah, Trotz didn't feel loved. Now he's like, fuck you, I won the cup, you can't have me.
I think there was room to bring him back for, like, 3 years at maybe, like...
12.
Okay, well, I don't know why I said that, because the Capitals never pay their coaches any money. So, like, you know, he had earned enough money where they weren't going to pay him the $4 million
like,
he wanted.
But, like, the Islanders are cheap because the Islanders have no money. Like, I get the Islander side of it, but, like, the Caps, Ted Leonsis is swimming around. He's like Scrooge McDuck. He's just, like, he's in the vault. He's backstroking through gold coins. Like, why can't he throw some gold coins at his Stanley Cup winning coach?
I just think that they've always, like, as I've said before, like, you know, from 98 to Barry Trotz, they never paid a coach any money. They hired a bunch of coaches that never had any NHL experience.
But, like, why would you pay the coaches that don't do shit? Like, the coach that does do something, right? Right? Can I get some support over here? Barry Trotz did stuff.
Yeah?
Two President's Trophies, a Stanley Cup.
I mean, so I was going to say, like, devil's advocate, he made it past the fucking second round once. Now, granted, things went really good after that.
But that one time was pretty good, though, wasn't it?
But... This ain't like Joel Quenneville over here, you know, winning multiple cups or anything.
Well, if Barry Trotz was coaching a team that had Taves, Kane on bargain deals, Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith on bargain deals, and Marian Hossa on a cap circumvention deal.
Stephen Johns down in Rockford.
I mean, Stephen Johns in Rockford was just invaluable to those teams, right? Wait, is he still here? He left, right? Yeah. Like, but still, like, Stephen Johns was the support system that, you know, that Barry Trotz never had.
Brent Seabrook was looking over his shoulder and he was like, "Uh-oh, I better watch it. Oh, that's right. I'm signed for fucking ever. I don't have to worry about anything. They can't trade me either."
like is Joel Quenneville going to win another cup with the Blackhawks? No. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Barry Trotz, I mean, the Caps probably caught lightning in a bottle this year, and they're probably not going to do it again. But it's just weird to be like, well, we liked Todd Reirden 12 months ago. We may as well stick with Todd Reirden.
He's a better coach than the – when was the last time the Islanders had a coach that good? What was it, Laviolette?
Peter Laviolette, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they went from being a guy who looked like an extra on The Sopranos to Doug Waite, and now they've went to Barry Trotz.
How dare you call him an extra? He was a hitman, man. Jack Capuano had he had hitman qualities.
Yeah, exactly. He had stains on his shirt. He was the guy who was like eating a giant fucking sub sandwich, and he gets that. The dressing on his shirt, you can never get the dressing out. It's just oil, and it's just terrible. And
Yeah. Joel Quenneville never had crumbs in his mustache. What are we talking about here? Come
and they're
on.
They're like, buddy, you got to go talk to the media. He's like, oh, shit, you know. Let me see if I can put my fucking tie over the stain.
But the thing with Barry Trotz is, okay, he's a really good coach. He's better than Doug Waite. He's better than Jack Capuano. Let's say you're John Tavares.
Leave.
Right, leave. Like, how does having an 80-year-old GM and a new coach who just showed up like 2 minutes ago suddenly make you go, I'm not going to test free agency? How? Yeah. He's the best free agent to go to
market in years. Did some Dallas fans say, come here to Tavares?
Right.
Dude, it's like super hot down here. I don't know if you guys know that. Well, then watch him go to Vegas. No.
I just don't understand hockey players who... Like Artemi Panarin, right? Like, he's not going to be a UFA for a full year. And, like, Columbus is like, re-sign now. And he's like, I don't know. They're like, well, fuck off. We're trading you. Like, right. How is that? Why is that a thing in hockey? This doesn't happen. No one tells LeBron, like, you got to sign right now or you're gone. And he's like, fuck you. And you're like, okay. I'm sorry. We were only kidding. You can stay for more year.
You guys know you're Cleveland, right?
Why can't we this podcast just dragging Cleveland nonstop?
Cleveland here. I don't know what that's about.
Lake Erie Monsters!
So Mike Hoffman was traded twice. And Pierre Dorion, the GM of the Senators...
is a fucking idiot, that's correct.
...couldn't get a second-round pick
for him.
But Doug Wilson, the GM of the Sharks, could get a second-round pick for him. And also he was traded within his own division, technically... which was another fuck up. Yeah, and then did they get Michael Bodker.
Michael, not Mike Bodker, the Orioles pitcher. Mikhail Bodker.
So one of the things that's been happening a lot lately on the social medias is
on the social media.
People heard Don Cherry's words about Mike Hoffman, and they're like, you know what? He's grapes is right. Innocent until proven guilty. And I'm like, their team just broke a fucking land speed record to trade this guy. Like, I'm not saying there's smoke, but there's some fucking smoke there as far as what went down.
Yeah, like if from everything, as a lawyer, I can speak to this. Like, I know Canadian law very well, and for the Carlsons to do what they did to take out the order of protection,
or
whatever it's called in Canada.
Or they sought it. They sought it out or whatever,
Like, clearly there was enough evidence for the law, as I like to call it, to say, yes, we will give you this order of protection, because there probably was enough evidence to show that she was saying...
I know we've mentioned... I think we mentioned it last week, but again, the greatest thing about this scandal is the fact that the first story that they wrote in the Ottawa Citizen about it had a picture of Mike Hoffman's fiance as the villainess of a Lifetime movie, and then they do an interview with the Citizen to tell their side of the story, and the photo is them in the fucking forest holding puppies.
And the best part, too, was, like, all the quotes were from Mike Hoffman. Like, I don't care what Mike Hoffman
says. Oh, tell no, no. That's not true. There was the quote from his fiance pretending she didn't know Daniel Winnick was in the league.
Oh, my God. Like nothing convinced me more that she did it than that. She was like, some guy named Daniel Weinick. I don't know who he is. Apparently he plays hockey.
I mean, they keep telling me there is the fourth line. I don't even think there is a fourth line on these teams, okay? So that happened. So he got traded, and Ottawa's a tire fire.
Are there any Ottawa fans here? No, right?
Oh, right. And are you... Wait,
don't
what's on the back of your jersey?
Don't boo him. He's brave.
Oh, shit. He's wearing a Ron Tugnutt jersey.
He's wearing a Ron Tugnutt jersey. Attaboy. Good. That's good work.
Say what you will about the Ottawa franchise, but they've had some names, man. Ron Tugnutt, Radek Bonk.
Radek Bonk.
Hold on. Was Chichu yeah, he was a Senator.
Matt Duchene is pretty good.
Oh, who's the fucking
Duchene?
Guy I'm thinking
of? That's a pretty good...
Craig Anderson, Zach Smith. No, fuck, there's some other crazy great name I can't draw.
Peter Sidorkovitz?
No, no. Well, yeah, Sidorkovitz was a really good one, too.
Hey, Sidorkovitz. That's like a...
It'll come to me. Probably not. Where do you think Ilya Kovalchuk's going to end up as we do this show before the draft weekend?
Dallas. No, not Dallas. I saw a report like Los Angeles was in on him, but
yeah.
I don't think that's... I mean...
I think he ends up...
Vancouver?
I think he ends up in San Jose because DeBoer is there. And...
Yeah.
But, they just signed Kane, so it doesn't make any sense. But I think he'll end up there.
How much room do they have? How much space do they have?
They got some space.
Could they do Tavares?
They have Tavares space, so they have enough for Kovalchuk.
But do they have enough for both as, like, a package deal?
No, probably not.
Then I could see it. Otherwise, like, he should go to Vegas. Go to Vegas, man. Vegas has room. He can be a top line guy there. Bump Marcia's.
They have a knight who can cut a jet in half. I don't know if you remember that.
for his first game, he'll cut the Devil's contract in half so he can play for the Vegas Golden Knights. Just comes flying at him.
Do you like the draft? We're here for the draft this weekend, or should I mention?
I could so care less about the draft because like it's like a foregone conclusion. Like Rasmus Dahlin's going to Buffalo, and then it's a bunch of dudes who like I've seen like two highlights of on YouTube, and I'm going, oh yeah, that guy's going to be great.
Yeah, that is by far my favorite thing about the draft. Like you get to around the 11th pick, and it happens, and everybody in the fucking world becomes a draft expert.
Oh yeah,
there's only like four people that know anything about the draft. One of them's Merrick, another one's Corey Pronman, one of them's Chris Peters who works for ESPN, and then there's probably some other guy, probably Craig Buttons or whatever the hell his name is.
Remember when the Coyotes traded up to get who did they trade up with the Red Wings to get? Yeah,
right.
And like for like 2 days, it was like, oh my god, yeah. John Chaik is a genius.
Everybody becomes a draft genius. It's like the. You know, the who would be the team? Like the St. Louis Blues select Jürgen Florgenbergen from Svetlana in the Swedish league. And everybody's like, oh, Florgenbergen, great hands. I mean, first of all, like the best hands.
Wouldn't Svetlana be from the Russian league?
He skates. He knows what a puck is. Just like a great, an amazing pick.
Well, that one guy's name is Tkachuk, so he must be awesome.
Right.
I've heard that name before. So automatically, that guy's going to be like a top-line player for 20 years. I don't know. I care more about all the trade stuff, man, because this is the only time of year when NHL GMs actually do their jobs and make trades and actually try to make their teams better.
I don't think I ever mentioned it on the podcast. One of the things I always wanted to do, but I figured it would probably get me kicked out of like being a credentialed NHL guy, and I can't do that now that I work for Disney, I wanted to take... one of those spy microphones, you know, the ones that have like a little dish and like the microphone sticking out that you'd find at like an NFL game or whatever to capture sound on the field. I wanted to take that, stand at the fence at the draft, and just monitor what the GMs are saying throughout the entire night. So when you see like two GMs go over there and Darren Drager's like, ooh, two GMs are speaking.
Oh, God.
And I'll stick my microphone and point it at them. They're like, yeah, they're just talking about dinner, you know?
They're talking about Killing Eve. Oh, I love Killing Eve. Good show, right? Yeah, great show.
Oh, is anyone watching The Staircase on Netflix, by the way? For those who are watching it, is it impossible not to see John Tortorella as the defense lawyer on The Staircase? He looks exactly like him. And it's like, and you just, every time he objects, the judge is like, so you're saying that this evidence shouldn't be admitted? And I'm just expecting, that's what I'm saying, Brooksy. You don't admit the fucking evidence, is what I'm saying, Brooksy.
Is anybody watching Friends on Netflix? Yeah. How about that one where, like, Joey's like, ooh, that was a good one, right? Like, remember that one?
Oh, that's right, right. Yeah. And then Schwimmer's like, I am not blah, 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 blah.
I can't get divorced three times. Classic Schwimmer.
Oh, so good. All right, let's talk about Sergei Zubov. Bring me the Zubov jersey. So we can properly have this discussion. I think we're probably going to have to do this as a case, right? I'll go first because you have visual cues. Are you literally taking the jersey off your back? Oh, it's a Bettman sucks T-shirt underneath.
I was thinking about doing this where, like, I'm a cop and you're, like, you're under arrest for not respecting Sergei Zubov, and I just question you about why you hate Sergei Zubov, and then I break you, and then you admit you like Sergei Zubov.
Much respect for the fighting strap, by the way, on the jersey. This is a real regulation jersey.
All right.
Did he play here during the Muterus years? Now I'm really disappointed. Because I've never felt the touch of a Muterus jersey on my skin.
What's it like? What does it feel like to wear the jersey?
Oh, to wear a Stars jersey? It feels fan-fucking-tastic. Mm. I feel as underrated as Louis Erickson back in the day. Your Honor.
Yes. Tell us why you think perhaps the second best defenseman of his era shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, Greg.
As you know, Dave, it's not the Hall of Good.
Right.
It's not the Hall of Very Good. It's the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. which actually has no synonymous aspects with the word good. But it does mean famous. And how does one get famous, Dave Lozo?
Tell me.
It's real easy. You mentioned the actor Dean Norris before. Has Dean Norris ever won an Oscar? No. Has Daniel Day-Lewis? Yes. Do we know who Daniel Day-Lewis is? Of course. Do we don't Dean Norris outside of the sex gifts tweet? No, we don't. That's because awards, my friend, awards. Are the reason why players have fame. So while I respect Sergei Zubov as a sudden darling of the analytics community, and I respect that Sergei Zubov has 2 Stanley Cups,
sure.
I will note that Sergei Zubov, despite all of these accolades from these fans telling me how important he is and how Hall of Fame worthy he is, mm-hmm. was it a finalist for the Norris Trophy but once.
Right.
In the top 4 for the Norris Trophy but once, mm-hmm. or twice, I guess. I mean, fucking. But was never a winner of the Norris Trophy, which to me means that he is not a generational talent, which to me means that he's in the dustbin of history. I will say that if you went up to a child and said, have you ever heard of the name Sergei Zubov? They'd say no. But have you ever heard of the name Sergei Gonchar? They would begin spouting off statistics and telling you about the grandeur of Sergei Gonchar. And before I could hear you fucking people all out there being like, but he played in Dallas. Yeah, so did Mike Modano. So did Brett Hull. So did all these other people that are very famous and won lots of awards. So don't give me the anonymity argument. The man was on 2 fucking cup teams.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What did Modano win? Our hearts and minds, sir. That's what Mike Modano won. And also the hand of Willa Ford, briefly.
So it sounds like to me the basis of your Sergei Zubov hate is his lack of awards, correct?
That's right. Recognition correct. From hockey writers based on the East Coast.
So Greg, who votes on hockey awards?
Well, the writers mostly.
Okay. So you're telling me the same people that could not figure out the position of Taylor Hall are the people that you're going to use as the foundation for keeping Sergei Zubov out of the Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
That is correct. I understand that it's very difficult for defensemen who played in a certain era to...
Which era is that, Greg? Which era? Explain your era.
The era in which Sergei Zubov played, where he's looking up at Nick Lidstrom and
yes,
Chris
Nick
Pronger
Lidstrom,
and
Chris Pronger.
Scott Niedermeyer and mm-hmm. Scott Stevens and...
Greg. What was Scott Stevens' first year in the NHL? 1982. What was Sergei Zubov's first year in the NHL?
1994.
That's the same era, according to Greg Wyshynski. 12 years apart. He's not as good as Scott Stevens.
I mean, Scott Stevens won 3 cups during the duration of Sergei Zubov's career, including one.
I believe
one in 2000.
Do you believe Rob Blake is a Hall of Famer, Greg?
What?
Do you believe that defenseman Rob Blake is a Hall of Famer? Nobody throws scallops, by the way.
No,
we don't want to.
I know where you're going because I'm not visually impaired. I can see
You have a visual aid here.
Have you not used Rob Blake as an example as a better defenseman than Sergei Zubov?
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
I do not.
Your Honor, instruct him to answer the question. Rob Blake, you think Rob Blake's a Hall of Famer, correct?
I feel he's a borderline Hall of Famer. Oh. I feel the Hall of Fame is littered with people that you could use as examples. Cam Neely, Clark Gillies, Bernie Federico. What? Oh, don't give me that "what if they were Russian" nonsense.
Is it perhaps because Sergei Zubov was a member of the 1993-94 Rangers that defeated the 1993-94 Devils in the Eastern Conference Finals? Do you hold ill will towards him because of that, sir?
Not at all. I feel as though, for example, Brian Leetch, a defenseman who has been honored throughout his career and is a demonstrably better player than Sergei Zubov, belongs in the Hall of Fame.
So you're saying that Brian Leetch, whose career started 10 years before Sergei Zubov's career, is a reason to keep Sergei Zubov out of the Hall of Fame. What exactly is an era in your mind, Greg? Is it 30 years? Is it 40 years? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Listen, as I typically mark time based on Star Wars trilogies, so I find this line of questioning to be out of line as it attacks my religion.
All right, my final question is, what does Rob Blake have that Sergei Zubov doesn't?
A Canadian passport. I stole that joke from the audience. And I believe you're going to probably say a plaque in the Hall of Fame or whatever you would call that, an etching.
Because I'm looking at their numbers here, and before you ask, yes, I did this, and yes, my handwriting sucks.
Your Honor, if I could address the court on Exhibit A, it appears as though someone has attempted to write out a chart, but hastily scribbled over one of the numbers because he made a mistake. Your Honor, I say to the court, would you ever allow a piece of evidence that did not have the benefit of whiteout, sir?
Overruled!
Yes.
Overruled!
I'll allow it. Just. No, she has way better handwriting than
my daughter knows that Sergei Zubov's not a Hall of Famer.
Rob Blake. Wow. Holy shit, they're booing your daughter. That's where we've gotten to. Maybe we should move on because it seems like it's going to get violent at some point.
Her first word was Arnett.
You realize, like, we're going to invite, like, more people up on stage to stand next to us.
Just bringing it full circle. Your attack on Scheinerbach, my attack on the Dallas Stars.
They forgot about that by now. All right, so Sergei Zubov, Hall of Famer.
Sergei Zubov, not Hall of Famer. Shit. Okay, well, there's that.
I rest my case. Thank you, everybody.
I'm going to take off the Sergei Zubov jersey.
Yeah, you don't deserve to wear the Sergei Zubov jersey.
For the record, I think he'll probably get in. I feel like there's a groundswell of people reconsidering his career. But I also, you know, want you to know that a lot of my feelings... Oh, you want it back? A lot of my feelings on this are based on the fact that I would probably expunge 2/3 of the Hall of Fame as not being worthy. I was just told that Zubov and Bobby Orr are the only two players to ever lead a team in scoring in the regular season.
Yeah.
That won the cup.
Yeah, what's Bobby Orr ever done?
Any more caveats there? That would eat cheeseburgers on a Tuesday.
He's no Scott Niedermeyer, who could have had a lot of points if he played on a different team.
Oh, I always love that. Oh, but to recurry your favor, as I wrote on ESPN this week, the Yuri Lehtinen Award for Best Defensive Winger is my new cause.
It is there you go.
Absolute horseshit that the Selkie is limited a fucking standing ovation from 3 or 4 people. The Selkie trophy being exclusive to centers is horseshit, and I could feel, and also, by the way, I haven't even noticed, but none of the awards are named for Europeans, and there are European and 2 in the league now, so I like all these things. All right, God, what time is it? Let me see here.
I think it might be time to...
It's probably time for the game show, right?
It might be time to get Schlem Code.
All right. It is time for everybody's favorite game show, Schlem Code.
We're going to need, I was going to say three people, but now I realize we only have three. There's one down there, too, so I guess we could have three people, right?
We have people on here.
Oh, we do? All right, bring them up then.
Scott, Kevin, and Ryan. I probably should have gotten last names because those are like the three most common names that you could have.
Yeah, holy Scott, shit, there are two people in Atlanta Thrashers jerseys coming to the stage. Bring them back. Yeah, there's one down there. Here. How's it going? Oh, what is that? You have an Atlanta Knights hat, and you have a Thrashers jersey. How's it going? And do you have a Knights hat as well? Okay. What's up, Waz? Scotty Waz, ladies and gentlemen. You want to pimp your podcast?
Yeah, Face Off Hockey Show with me and Johnny P in the back somewhere drunk. We're sitting with Sean Leahy, too. It's weird.
You guys stay up here. I'll go down there.
All right, go down there.
I don't have a blog.
You gotta talk for a second because I gotta move. Alright. So Dallas is warm, isn't it? Jesus Christ. Being from North Dakota, it's not the greatest thing. Get out here, it's just humid. I don't like it. Fat
hey,
guy and
so where are you guys from?
Albuquerque. What's the deal with waffle boards?
So Thrashers, huh?
Yeah.
Hello?
Okay, here we go.
Are you holding out hope for a comeback or?
You look a little like Danny. You look a little like Danny Healy.
You should have had the jersey, though.
Oh wait, you guys should like.
So the guy who looks like Danny Heatley isn't wearing the Danny Heatley jersey.
Yeah, that's like throwing me off a little bit. Here you go. Go ahead, do your thing.
All right, so it's time for Schlem Code, aka the roster game. It's the game in which we challenge you to all name players from certain rosters throughout NHL history. And we go until you can't name them anymore. And since there's three of you, we'll play three rounds. I don't know what one has to do with the other. But we're just going to do that anyway. So we're in Dallas. I don't know if you guys noticed. So as you probably could guess, we're going to do Vancouver. No, I'm kidding. We're going to do Dallas. We're going to do Dallas Stars rosters. So we'll begin with... Now, I don't have this on paper like I normally do, so I'm gonna rely on the people in the audience to let me know if we have a repeat answer. I'm going to try to follow as long as I can, but it's been a shiner night, so we're going to do what we can. We're going to begin with, of course, what other team, but the 1998-99 Stanley Cup champion... Dallas Stars. Keep in mind, this is any player that appeared during the regular season based on our friends at hockeyreference.com. That's hockey-reference.com. So, what are your names? Say your names again so people at home can identify you.
My name is Kevin.
Ryan.
Scott.
Okay. Kevin, you're closest to me. In my heart.
Likewise.
You can begin naming players from the Stanley Cup champion 98-99 Dallas Stars.
Mike Madonna.
Says here that's correct.
Sergei Zubov.
Well, that's a bit of a cheat, but sure. Scotty?
Eddie Belfour.
We are rocking and rolling. We went through the whole first round, and nobody said... Alan McCauley. Go ahead.
Daryl Sador
is correct.
Yuri Lehtinen
is also correct. Scotty, is there any player that I recently mentioned that you'd like to say now?
Darian Hatcher
is very much correct. He was, in fact, the captain, according to Hockey Reference. Go ahead.
Mike Keane
is very correct, and now I can't believe that we're getting this deep into the game this early.
Dave Reed.
Solid.
That's also correct. I'm really kind of fucking stunned at one of the names that hasn't been said yet. I thought this would be a really... Go ahead.
Craig Ludwig.
That's also correct. This is fun now. Go ahead.
Guy Carboneau.
Guy Carboneau, correct.
Daryl Sador.
Daryl Sador. Lozo, how do we work that if it was already said? Is he out?
Oh, was it?
All right, the crowd says you're out. Daryl Sador was said. Okay, Waz?
Go Flyers.
Brett Hull.
Brett Hull was the name I was looking for. Okay, go ahead. Uh-oh.
Former Atlanta Thrasher Tony Hercus.
The Hercus Circus is correct. Number 41 in your programs, number 41 in your hearts, Scotty Waz.
Roman Turek.
That's correct. Uh-oh. There's a couple real big names still left on the plate here.
I'm sure there are.
You could just probably say any name.
Remember if anybody said that this yet, so I'm gambling Belfour.
It was said.
Ah!
So that's Scotty Waz's round. We were still looking for Joe Neuwendijk. Jamie Langenbrunner.
Yeah.
The lowest rated player in the history of EA Sports, John Chambers. That's true, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that. Like, his player rating was the lowest of all time. Brent Severin, Brian Scridland, fucking Pat Verbeek. All right. So Scotty Waz wins round one of Schlem Code. Now we're gonna take it back. We're gonna take it back old school. We're gonna take it back to the year 93-94. What happened in 93-94? That's right. Dallas got
Sergei Zubov won a cup.
Oh, I'm not a fucking man, dude.
The 93-94 Dallas Stars. And I'll have you know that there are so many names on this list, I had to use my fingers to shrink the screen of my phone before taking the screen cap of it. So you've got a lot of names here. Good luck. Waz, we'll start with you.
Brad Barry.
Jesus Christ.
I'm fucked.
Atlanta boys, I don't know. You might be in trouble here. All right, go ahead. Yeah, you. No, no. Oh, you want to go reverse? Yeah, we'll go reverse order. Oh, go ahead, Ryan.
Thank you, Kevin. Neil Broughton.
Good call.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm out of my depth here. Mike Madonna.
Correct.
All right. Can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong with that.
Darian Hatcher.
That's correct.
You mother...
Ryan, you're up.
David Schlemko.
A worthy stab in the dark, but incorrect. Kevin? I know.
Richard Matvichuk.
Correct.
Damn!
Waz?
Andy Moog.
Correct. Kevin? You didn't realize that you were playing the embodiment of the Dallas Stars.
Brian Bellows.
He's the best.
Wait, what is that? Oh.
I think that was it.
Wait, you said Brian Bellows?
I said Brian Bellows.
Wait, what did you say?
I said Brian Bellows.
Well, that's wrong. Scotty Waz is our winner. Schlem Code. Now,
give us a Thrasher roster.
I was just handed a note from Dave Lozo, who I assume had run off the stage to take a piss, but it turns out he was... Okay, he ran off the stage to take a piss. The bonus round tonight for Schlem Code will be the 2010-11 Atlanta Thrashers. Coached by Craig Ramsey, played in Phillips Arena, finished fourth in the Southeast with 80 points. But since we have two guys in Thrashers jerseys on stage, only appropriate, we play this one. We'll begin with you, Scotty Waz, who is not in a Thrashers jersey.
Kari Lettinen.
Nope, he's already traded. He's already traded.
Kari Lettinen is incorrect.
Dude, we're going to battle on this
The goalie, oh wait, I can't tell you who the goalies were, but it, trust me when I tell you Akari Lehtinen was not one of them. All right, Thrashers boys, let's go to Kevin next. No, let's go to Ryan next, I'm sorry.
Dustin Byfuglien
is correct. Now, I don't know if you guys remember the Thrashers.
Half of the cup winning team.
There might be a run on players here after the Dustin Byfuglien mention.
Andrew Ladd.
That is correct. Did I say he was the captain? No, I didn't, right? But he is the captain. Okay.
Andrew Blake Wheeler.
What?
Blake Wheeler.
Blake Wheeler is correct. Loza just said it's a pretty good team.
Tobias Enstrom.
Oh, Toby Enstrom is correct. He prefers to go by Toby because... Oh, who fucking knows? All right.
Chris Thorburn.
Chris Thorburn is correct. Wow.
Evander Kane.
How dare you, sir. Yeah, that's correct.
Andre Pavlik.
Andre Pavlik is correct.
Alexander Burmistrov.
Fuck you, dude. Fuck you.
Alexander Burmistrov is correct, and also his name went over the dividing line on the screen for how long names can be. Ryan?
Eric Bolton.
Eric what? Bolton?
Bolton.
Yeah, that's correct. Someone's got to throw the punches.
Mark Stewart.
Well, that sounds made up. It's correct, though.
Fuck.
You guys really know your checks, notes. 2010-11 Atlanta Thrashers.
Boris Vlahovic.
Oh! Boris Vlahovic is the guy who you might remember got punched in the balls by Sidney Crosby from behind. If you've not seen it, you should really go on YouTube. Sidney Crosby snuck behind him and punched him in the balls. But he wasn't on that team.
God damn it.
Yeah, we need one more name for the win. Come on, Ryan. This is it. Reach deep into your Thrashers memory banks.
Wait, he's doing this for the win?
Yep. This is just go with it. Wait, why would you got it wrong? Wait, did he get Valiba wrong?
No.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah. I was... Go, Kevin, go for the win here.
Former Dallas star Richard Peverly.
Fuck, that's a good one. No, he was traded by Boston by then.
That year. He played for them
that
year.
Oh, he did play on them. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's correct, yeah. Sorry, I was so infatuated with names like Ron Hainsey, Patrick Rissmiller, Rob Schrempf.
Was Joey Crabb on that team?
What, who?
Joey Crabb.
He was not. K-R-A-B-B, right?
Yeah.
No, he was not. But Nick Andropov was.
Brent Sopel.
Brent Sopel was there.
Bring it on.
And so was, of course, Zach Bogosian, which was a name you probably should have remembered as well. And we should all remember on draft weekend, because everybody said he was going to be better than Drew Doughty. Oops. Is there anything you boys want to plug now that you're on stage?
I will a given. I will plug Atlanta Thrashers fans. You're still out there everywhere. God, you know, bless you people.
There's three of you right there.
I'm actually a Flyers fan, so let's go Flyers.
And I already plugged my stuff, so there you go.
Are you technically you're a Capitals sympathizer, but you're a Flames fan, right? Is that how it works?
No, I'm a Capitals fan.
You're a Capitals fan. So yes. Scotty's a Capitals fan, and they finally won.
Cried like a little bitch. It was fantastic.
Did you ever think that you would live long enough to see this day?
No, not at all. I don't think my kid was going to live long enough.
That was a multi-layered question about Capitals fandom, nutrition. Scotty and I know each other way back. Scotty took me to a steakhouse in Calgary once that was so far away from the city I really thought he was going to murder me.
Well, let's not forget the Glenn Anderson story in Ottawa.
Have I ever told the Glenn Anderson story on the podcast? So we were at the draft in Ottawa, and we went to a casino. No, it was in Montreal,
no,
wasn't it?
It was in Ottawa and a casino in Quebec.
We went to a casino in Quebec, and so I was sitting next to a dude at the blackjack table, and he split on twos, right?
Threes.
He split on threes, and I'm like, you know, we were walking out. I, of course, lost a lot of money because I fucking suck at gambling, but it never stops me. And so I was like throwing a tantrum. I'm like, who the fuck splits on threes? And Scotty's like, you know who that was, right? I'm like, who? He's like, Glenn Anderson. You know, potential. I think he wasn't a Hall of Famer. Yeah, he was going to be like potential Hall of Famer. Like, I'm like, so this fucking guy got to play with Gretzky, and he wins splitting on threes in blackjack. Like, that's a modicum of luck I can't comprehend in life. All right, boys, thank you for playing Schlem Code. Thank you.
All right,
Lozo, what have we learned?
Before we move forward,
oh, Jesus
splitting
Christ.
Threes, why not? If you get 2 8s, da boo boo, you have a six. You hit it on six, you get a 10, then what? You got 16. You're ruining it for the table. I want to get 2 8s, double down twice, get 2 21s, boom, I'm rich.
When I was in Vegas way too often this last couple months, I got an 11 once and then asked for a card to double down, and she drew an ace. And so I had a 12. And then a few hands later, I had an 11. And I said to the dealer, I'm like, I'll double down if you don't draw an ace. And she drew an ace. But then she busted, and that was the greatest gambling moment of my life.
Right. You did nothing wrong there. You shouldn't be afraid to double down on 11. Split your threes, split your twos, split your, well, not fours. Split your twos and your threes.
Yeah,
that's a little tip from your bad gambling friend, Dave. Mm.
What did we learn tonight, Dave? We learned that Zuboff is a Hall of Famer.
I learned that guy might follow you back to your hotel room and murder you. Even money that happens.
We learned in random Dallas Whole Foods, people think that Tyler Seguin is Stephen Johns.
Yeah, we did. No. They knew he was Stephen Johns. They didn't think he was Tyler Seguin. Actually, I learned that Stephen Johns will not punch me if I make fun of Jamie Benn to his face, which is fucking great. Thank God. I had no idea how that was going to go. Don't ever tell me I won't ask questions of people's faces, because I gave him three reasons to punch me in the face, and he didn't do it.
We learned that Rowdy Roddy Piper and Frank Stallone were on Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, if you go to the IMDb page for Walker, Texas Ranger, and you go down to, like, all these people who were only on one episode, like, I think, like, Jake Gyllenhaal was on that show. Like, it's an insane amount of, like, really good actors and also, like, Frank Stallone. That show was on the air for like 15 years. Everyone from Texas watches that show, right? Like, I wasn't. No.
Wait, so hold on.
Uh huh.
Do you guys hate Houston? Is that a real thing? Or?
Oh. Oh, yeah. How about those Astros? Oh.
All right, let me understand Texas better. So you hate Houston. Do you like Austin, or do you. You do.
Everybody likes Austin.
What else is there here? What are the other cities here? Do you like... Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck San Antonio. You know, is there a more overrated fucking thing in the world than the Riverwalk?
Oh, my God.
It's a fucking mall.
Yeah.
Oh, the Alamos, but that's got history. It's a fucking mall that they spread out over this smelly... bullshit river, and it's the worst.
Well, I guess we're never going to do a live show in San Antonio. The river's smelly.
So wait, do you like San Antonio? I kind of cut you off. No? Really hate Houston, like Austin, kind of nonplussed about San Antonio.
But, like, there's, like, an Astros-Rangers rivalry, right? That's a thing. So if there was ever a hockey team in Houston, you guys would hate the shit out of that team, right? Yeah.
There it is.
Come on, Ottawa. Ottawa's got to come to Houston. I want Ottawa and Houston.
All right. The natives and others are getting restless. We should probably go to the Q&A. Thus ends the podcast for all you beautiful people at home. Thanks to Stephen Johns of the Dallas Stars.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks to all the people who played our reindeer games. And now, from 9 p.m. local time to 2 a.m.,
we will field the longest Q&A ever.
Every single one of your questions.
Everyone gets a question.
Everyone gets a question.
Although we kind of need someone to bring the microphone over to you.
All right. So. Let's give the people at home what they crave, which is applause and FOMO. Thank you, everybody, for listening to our live show in Dallas here on Puck Soup.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Puck Soup.